Today, I want to share with you some of the great lessons which I learned from my sheepdog. Being the kind of man I am, I'm a very practical individual, and God has to teach me things in very simple ways. I'm slow of heart and very stubborn, and I have to get a hold of spiritual truth in such a way that I can really get my teeth in it. I am not satisfied with theory and doctrine and sort of abstract teaching. I must be able to actually get my teeth into truth before it becomes meaningful in my life. And so some of the things which I'm sharing with you this morning, and it's more of a story than anything else so that even the children can enjoy this, may come through to you with great emphasis as God the Holy Spirit sees fit to really use this in your lives as he has in my life. In the Word of God, we are sometimes called workers and co-workers with Jesus Christ. And to be honest with you, my life was just an absolute dead loss for years and years. And if I have learned anything about what it means to be a co-worker with Jesus Christ, I learned it from this dog. And so that's what the story is going to be about this morning. So before we go into it, shall we just bow our heads and pray quietly for a moment or two? Our gracious God and our Heavenly Father, when you were here amongst us as the man Christ Jesus, you chose to teach truth in story form, in parables, because you knew how slow we human beings are to understand and how difficult it is for us to understand. And this morning, very earnestly, I pray that you will take this simple story and actually use it in our lives to help us to understand what you're really like. So many of us have such a distorted, wrong, false view of what you're like. And we ask that in that unique way which you have, you will take this account this morning and actually use it to show us yourself. We thank you for doing this. In Christ's name, amen. Most of you, of course, know that for a number of years I was a rancher, and I started out, first of all, by being a cattleman, not a sheepman. And when I finally launched out into business for myself and bought my first property, I was so poor I couldn't afford cattle, and so I was driven to buy sheep. And I never did want sheep very much, and I often wondered to myself during those days why God even let me be on a sheep ranch, because it seemed to be such a trial for me. And yet some of the lessons which I learned there certainly altered the whole course of my life and made an enormous impact on me. After we moved on to this first property, I had a huge cattle dog, which was a very fine dog, but he was getting old and he didn't have much capacity when it came to sheep. In fact, he had no capacity at all. And it became apparent I needed a sheep dog, and I needed one desperately, because even though I have quite long legs and can run quite fast, I simply couldn't handle all the sheep. And one day, there was an ad in the paper, and it simply read this way. It said, "Wanted, good country home for purebred border collie. Chases cars and bicycles." Well, I was on the phone just right now, and that very afternoon I went in to see the owner, who was living in the heart of the city, 25 miles away. And when I got to her house, why, the lady came out and she said, "I'm sorry, Mr. Keller, but I can't do a thing with this dog. She's 2 years old and she's absolutely loco. She's crazy. She just chases kids and bicycles and cars, and she's no use to me or to anyone else." And so I said, "Well, may I see her?" And she took me around to the back of the house. And here was this dog, and as I approached, she just literally leaped at me, snarling and baring her teeth. And fortunately, she was chained. She was chained from the neck to the ground, and also they had hobbled her with another chain from her back leg to her front leg, so that she really couldn't get very far. And as I approached the dog, she just snarled very menacingly, and laid her ears back, and I said to the lady, I said, she's obviously been a very abused dog. And yet I could tell by looking at her, because I'm a dog man, I've had dogs all my life, that this was a magnificent specimen. The Border Collies, as you may know, are a breed which were developed in the north of England on the border between England and Scotland for nothing else than to raise sheep and to herd sheep. And through centuries of very careful breeding, this breed of dog has been developed to the point where they're the ones that win all the sheep trials. When they have sheepdog trials, they win all of the trials, and they're used all over the world now because of these inbred instincts. And I realized I was looking at a very fine specimen of this breed. And I said to the lady, I said, I'll take her on 6 weeks probation. And if I can't do anything with her in 6 weeks, then I'm going to bring her back to you and have her destroyed, because I said, I don't want to destroy a beautiful animal like that. So I put the dog in the back of the car and started off for home. And all the way I would put my hand back to try and pet her. I'd try and talk to her very tenderly and gently. And all I got were just growls and snarls. I took her home, and we lived in a very remote area at the end of a road, right out on the ocean, where there were no cars, no bicycles, no boys to chase. And we had a brand new kennel fixed for her, and very clean and comfortable, and a bowl of water and fresh food. And I put her in this, and she wouldn't eat. She refused to eat, she refused to drink. She just laid there and glared at me very menacingly. And this went on day after day. And she was losing condition, and she was falling away. And finally I said to my wife one day, I said, there's only one thing I can do, and that's to set her free. I said, it's a tremendous risk, but she wouldn't even respond. If you went near her and spoke her name was Lassie. If you spoke to her, she'd just recoil from you. And so I let her go. And she was gone. Believe me, she was gone. She just disappeared. We lived in rough country, and there was, behind our little cottage, there were big boulders and rocks and then forest, and she just disappeared. And I said to my wife, I said, well, I guess that's the last of that dog. Well, surprisingly enough, a couple of days later, I looked up on the top of one of these great rock outcrops, and there she was, lying up on the top, looking down just like a cougar does, you know, peering over this rock at me. And so I took a bowl of water up there, and I put some fresh food up there, and the next morning it was gone. And so I began to feed her that way, and yet every time I called her, she'd just disappear. And there was no communication between me and the dog at all. There was no rapport, nothing whatever. But one day, I noticed, I was watching her at a distance, as a band of sheep came up grazing near her, she took a tremendous interest in these sheep. And so I began to bring, every evening when the chores were over, I'd bring the sheep up close to where she was lying on this rock. And she would come down a little closer, and watch these sheep and watch me. And as the days went on, she seemed to show an increasing interest, but the time was running out, too. Week was following week, and nothing was happening, really. And I began to despair if I could ever do anything with that dog. I absolutely despaired that any kind of a rapport could be established between us. And I knew that if there wasn't, she would have to be destroyed. And this really hurt me, because she was a magnificent animal, and it would be the first dog I'd ever failed with. One night, I don't think she was really in my mind, I can't be sure of that, but I was standing close to this great rock that she loved to lie on, and watching the sunset over the ocean, and watching the sheep graze, and suddenly I felt something warm in my hand. I had my hands behind me like this, and she had pushed her muzzle into my hand, and my heart just literally leaped with excitement and with joy, because contact had been established, contact had been made. And I'm not going to belabor you with all the details of what happened from that time on, except to point out that for the first time, this dog had found somebody that she could trust. She had found somebody who understood her. She had found somebody in whom she could put her confidence, somebody who had her best interests at heart, somebody who knew how to handle her and manage her. And from that first contact, this dog began to have enormous trust in me as her owner. She got so she wouldn't eat unless I fed her. She wouldn't drink unless I watered her. And she got so that she was literally my shadow. She was literally my shadow. And here was an animal who couldn't even come when she was called at first. And she learned to not only work to all my commands, but she graduated from that to working with hand signals. I don't know how familiar you people are with watching dogs work sheep, but a good sheep man doesn't even use whistles or commands. He just uses hand signals. And this dog got so she could, I could go out in a field and round up 300, 400 sheep just with this dog, just using nothing but hand signals of this kind. She'd go left, she'd go right, she'd stop, she'd lie down, she'd hold a gate, what have you. And she became very well known. People would come all the way out from the city and just ask to see this dog work. And she became so valuable to me on the ranch that she was actually worth about 3 hired men. She was easily worth that in her ability and her capacity to work with me, to cooperate with me, and so on. I could take her into the very roughest country where I knew there were sheep. She couldn't see them, but I knew they were there. And I could send her out into that brush and into that undergrowth, and she could bring them all out through the thorns and the thickets and the brush and you name it. And as this began to happen and take place between the dog and I, God began to use this to speak to me about my life and him. You know, in the Word of God, we're called workers and co-workers with Jesus Christ. Do you remember that very winsome story where Jesus called Peter to him after the terrible events, the night of his crucifixion and then his resurrection and so on, and he'd been so badly betrayed? And he said to Peter, "Peter, I want you to feed my lambs. I want you to feed my sheep. Do you love me, Peter? Do you really care about me? Then feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. Take care of them." And God began to speak to me about this, and he said, "You know, Philip, this is an exact parallel between you and me. Exact parallel." And I'd like to develop these thoughts with you for a few minutes, because it began to help me understand God in a way in which I'd never understood him before. You know, when God made you and when he made me, just like with Lassie, he has incorporated into you and into me tremendous capacities. Tremendous potential are locked up in you and I. A tremendous potential to have rapport with him, to have communication with him, to respond to his overtures, to be of service to him, to be of help to him. But most of us never realize these capacities. No way. We don't even begin to. Do you know why? Because we go out just like Lassie did. You see, we get caught up under the wrong ownership. And here she was living under the ownership of somebody who didn't have a clue about sheepdogs. And all of her energies and all of her vitality and all of her vigor was being expended in the wrong things. Chasing cars, chasing bicycles, tearing around the town, getting into trouble. And that's how a lot of our lives are spent, and that's how a lot of my life had been spent. Until finally, we literally forge shackles of steel around ourselves. We really do. Men and women come to me all the time, and they brag about being free men and free women, doing what they like. They're not free men, they're not free women. They're shackled to their own passions. They're shackled to their own desires. They're shackled to their own habits. And the stranger of Galilee comes along, Jesus of Nazareth, God, very God, and he says to you and to me, but he says, "Won't you let me take over your life? Won't you let me set you free? Won't you let me set you out on a brand new way of living?" And most of us say, "No way, no way. I can't trust you. I can't trust you with my life. Man, you'll ask me to do something I don't want to do."